Be sure to hear our special guest at the end of today's program. And now, the thrilling adventures of the Shadow are on the air. Brought to you each week at this time by your neighborhood Blue Coal dealer. These dramatizations are designed to demonstrate forcibly to old and young alike that crime does not pay. Get the jump on winter. Put in a supply of Blue Coal now, and you'll have a head start on cold weather. Don't wait until some of your family start catching cold before you tackle your heating problem. It's so easy to start the season off right with comfortable, economical Blue Coal. So place your order now. And remember, this year it's well to start the season with a big supply. The producers of Blue Coal expect no shortage of this finest of all hard coal, but present unsettled conditions make it wise to be prepared. Call your neighborhood Blue Coal dealer tomorrow and order your winter supply of Blue Coal. The Shadow, mysterious character who aids the forces of law and order, is in reality Lamont Cranston, wealthy young man about town. Several years ago in the Orient, Cranston learned a strange and powerful secret. The secret of hypnotic power to cloud men's minds so that they cannot see. Cranston's friend and companion, the lovely Margot Lane, is the only person who knows to whom the voice of the invisible shadow belongs. Today's drama, The Hoodoo Ship. The date, 1850. The place, aboard the slave ship Raven, flying between Africa and America.
Mr. Carway!
What is it now, Peter? What thunderation do you want?
That ship, sir.
What ship?
The ship, sir, that has been following us since yesterday noon.
Tell the first mate to pile on more canvas. We'll outrun her.
Every piece of canvas we have is in use, sir. If we're caught with our cargo.
We'll not be caught with our cargo.
But the ship's a man of war and she's faster taking it.
We'll not be caught with our cargo, mister.
What do you mean?
I mean, we're dumping those slaves overboard.
But they'll drown.
Without a trace. The man of war may catch us, mister, but he'll never be able to prove we carry slaves. Well, why are you standing there, gate jawed? You heard my orders. Over the side with a lot of them. And when the man of war comes aboard us and asks our cargo, tell them we don't carry one. That we're just traveling for our health.
And that's the moment, Miss Lane, is the history of this old ship, the Raven.
A pretty gruesome history, Mr.
Who? But how did the haunted story originate?
On almost every voyage this old ship made after that, someone died. Finally, men refused to sail it. She's been harbored for the last 20 years.
How long have you had this ship?
Only a short while. You see, I was in something of a spot with the government taking over most of the merchant marine. And when I found the Raven for sale, it was a godsend.
Well, were you told about this legend of death concerning the ship when you bought it?
Yes, but I thought it was just a story. A story such as any old sailing ship might have acquired in its long life.
Something has happened to make you think otherwise?
On its first trip from my plantation, the captain was murdered in his cabin.
Oh, but that doesn't necessarily...
The door was locked from the inside and there wasn't a mark on his body. Frankly, Cranston, I too am beginning to believe this ship is a curse.
I was watching the men taking the stuff off in that boat while I was waiting for you and Miss Lane, Mr. Cranston.
Oh, were you sure?
Yes, sir. Ain't it too bad that the days of sailing boats is over that they're over?
Why do you say that, Trudy?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe because I read it somewhere. I was just making with the conversation, like they say. You two have been so quiet, I was just making with the conversation.
Like they say.
See, I would like very much to be a sailor. Sailing on the briny deep and batting down the hatches and stuff.
Well, Shrevey, I don't think you'd like that ship.
Why not? I am thinking to myself, that ship is beautiful.
In a repulsive sort of way.
Yes, certainly is.
Shrevey, that ship once carried slaves from Africa to America.
Is that so? Well, you can't blame the ship, you can't blame.
No, but the taint of the men who indulged in that business still seems to stick to her.
Well, that's quite understandable. What do you mean, Mr. Cranston?
That ship is haunted.
Oh, well, you mean it's got ghosts, it's got?
Raven, what were you driving?
Yes, ma'am. I thought for a minute you said the ship was haunted.
She did.
Oh, Raven, you're too excitable.
Yes, ma'am. I'll keep reminding myself of that, I'll keep.
Well, after all, it may be only a peculiar combination of circumstances.
Come on, don't you believe what Mr. Carew told us?
That the captain was found dead in his cabin?
With the door locked on the inside?
Margot, the captain may have died from natural causes. There were no marks of violence on his body, and as he was buried at sea...
What about the wailing noises that were heard the night he died? What about that awful smell aboard ship? An odor of death? Was all that just coincidence?
Yeah, how about that, Mr. Cranston? Coincidence?
Well, it seems likely, but...
What about all the trouble Mr. Carew had with the men being afraid to sail the ship again? Do you think you could scare all those men with a peculiar combination of circumstances?
No, that's very true. Well, you've convinced me, Margot.
Well?
Convinced me that I ought to accept Mr. Carew's offer to sail with him aboard the Raven.
Sail? But Lamar will have to start shopping like mad for cruise clothes.
Margot.
Let me see.
Margot.
Hmm?
You didn't hear me correctly. Mr. Carew asked me to sail with him. Just me.
Oh, Lamont, you wouldn't...
Margot, that's final. This is one time you're not going along.
Well, Lamont, needless to say, I'm glad that you've decided to come along this trip.
All right, there, man.
Funny, but I've got a strange feeling about this particular voyage. A feeling that I may not come back alive.
Oh, now, Carew.
Well, Mr. Carew, we'll be sailing with the tide in about 20 minutes.
Good. Captain Flanagan, this is our one and only passenger, Lamont Cranston.
How do you do?
Well, how do you do, sir? So you're the gentleman who's going to ferret out our spook, eh?
Oh. You know the ghost legend?
Captain Flanagan knows all about it.
Mr. Cranston, I'm not a superstitious man. I've examined my cabin where this so-called murder took place from stem to stern. And can't find a hiding place big enough even for a ghost. If a spook is going to clamber down that porthole tonight, I'll welcome him with open arms and buy him a spot of rum. He'll deserve it. Now, gentlemen, I'm more worried about my crew than I am of any ghost. Never in all my years at sea have I seen a meaner or uglier bunch of men.
Well, they were the only men we could get, Captain. Sailors are superstitious about a hoodoo ship.
Hey, Captain, look aloft. That man's going to fall off the rigging.
Oh, don't worry about him. Even with one leg, he's more agile than the rest.
Yes. That wooden leg of his doesn't seem to hinder him at all.
That's rot, the boatswain, Captain.
And he's the ugliest of an ugly lot.
Well, he's a good man. I don't know how I'd ever have a crew for you if he hadn't persuaded the men to sign on for another voyage.
I hear you. Boston, come here.
Aye, aye, sir.
Ron, this is our new skipper, Captain Flanagan.
Welcome, sir. Welcome to the good ship, Raven.
Haven't I met you someplace before, Mr. Rock?
Not that I recall, sir.
You look familiar to me. Not perhaps I'm mistaken.
Yes, sir.
Is that tobacco you're chewing, Mr. Rock?
That it is, sir.
I won't have any chewing or smoking while you're on duty.
Yes, sir. Over the side it goes, sir.
Good. Mr. Rock, I've been informed that discipline aboard the ship has been very lax.
Oh?
I'll not tolerate that. As soon as we're out to sea, I want to talk to the entire crew.
I'll see that they're assembled on deck, sir.
Good. Now, back to your work, Mr. Rock.
Aye, aye, sir.
Don't you think you're being a little hard on him, Captain?
Mr. Carew, I hope you won't mind my telling you this, but I'm the captain of this ship. You're the owner. But once we're out to sea, this ship is my responsibility.
No offense, Captain. I quite understand.
Captain Flanagan, for a moment you thought you recognized Rock.
Yes.
Who did you think he was?
A man who used to work for me some years back. And I must have been mistaken. And now, gentlemen, will you do me the honor of dining in my cabin tonight? Perhaps the presence of three men who don't believe he exists will discourage our ghost. Well, Mr. Cranston, Mr. Carew, when we hit that typhoon, there weren't enough able-bodied men aboard her to bury the dead. Oh, yes.
Captain, is it all right if I clean the dishes away, sir?
Yeah, clear away, Jess.
Yes, sir.
Well, you were saying, Captain, about the typhoon.
Yes, that's a very interesting yarn, Captain.
Well, for 3 days and 3 nights it blew. I lashed myself to the wheel with the waves breaking across the deck. Finally, the first mate relieved me, and I crawled into my cabin more dead than alive. I didn't care whether the ship sank or not.
I've gone through that same thing, Captain.
You mean lash to the wheel?
Oh, no, seasickness.
As a matter of fact, Lamont, I'm afraid I have a touch of it myself right now.
Oh, no, Carew.
Yes, Cranston. So if you'll both excuse me, I think I'll go out on deck for a little fresh air.
Seth, what's the matter with you? You've broken all the dishes.
What are you staring at?
The horn. They've come. I know it.
He's looking at that locker over there in the corner.
Yeah. I see the dog move. Yeah, there's something in there.
Well, there's only one way to find out. Come out.
Yes, Lamont.
Margot.
Explain.
Who is this woman?
I'll explain, Captain. Margot, what do you think you're doing?
A very bad job of stowing away, Lamont. But a very good job of being seasick.
Oh. Feeling any better, Margo?
Yes, a little, thanks.
Well, you can go below now if you want to. Go to have my cabin. Carew and I are going to bunk together.
Oh, thanks, Lamont. You're a dear.
Wait till this voyage is over before you thank me, Margo. Things are brewing aboard this old ship. Things that may result in the death of any of us.
Have you learned anything yet, Lamont?
Not yet, Margo. But the Shadow is going to Captain Flanagan's cabin tonight.
Well, what can you gain by questioning Captain Flanagan?
I'm not going to question him, Margot. Tonight, the Shadow is going to be merely an observer. Because I think that an attempt will be made on the captain's life. And I'm going to prevent it, if I can.
Who's there? Who's there?
It's only me, Miss. Yes, it's sure.
Who are you? Frightened,
you pardon my saying so, Miss. Deck of this ship ain't no place for a young lady to be alone this time of night.
I'm beginning to think you're right, Jeff.
This ship is haunted.
What?
I got a feeling that something's going to happen tonight.
Jeff, you don't believe in ghosts, do you?
Maybe yes. Maybe no. But I don't like to feel a death in the air tonight.
Is that you over there?
No. No, it's I, Margo.
Where's Lamont? He didn't come back to the cabin.
What? I don't know.
What's the name? Something on earth, Lamont. Mm. You notice that odor?
What? Yes.
The odor of death. The same odor that permeated the ship when Captain Edison was killed on the last
day. Lamont. Yes, you go around to the... Well, where is he?
Who?
Yes. I was just talking to him.
Are you sure?
Of course I'm sure. He was right here a minute ago.
I didn't see anyone talking to you when I came up.
But he was here, I know.
That wailing I heard, too, when Captain Rutherford was killed. That scream came from Captain Flanagan's cabin. Come on, hurry!
Our curtain will rise on Act Two. Meantime, let's talk about how you and your family can keep warm from now until next May. Heat your home with Blue Coal. You know, it's a fact that with Blue Coal, which is the finest of Pennsylvania hard coal, you can enjoy comfortable, even warmth throughout your house. Let the cold winter winds blow. You'll be snug and completely free of heating care. One reason it's so easy to heat with Blue Coal is that it's delivered to your home in exactly the right size for your heating class. Another reason, and one you want to be sure to remember, is the new Deluxe Blue Coal Heat Regulator. Every home should have one. It's as easy to operate as an electric light switch. It automatically opens and closes the dampers on your furnace and keeps every room at an even temperature. You can let the weatherman do his work. You're always comfortable. Ask for a free demonstration of the Blue Coal Heat Regulator in your own home. No obligation whatever. Get in touch with your reliable neighborhood Blue Coal dealer tomorrow. He's listed under the words Blue Coal in your classified phone directory. Remember the name, Blue Coal. Blue coal is color marked for your protection with a harmless blue tint. And now, back to the shadow.
He's dead. Captain Flanagan is dead.
Oh, Mr. Carew, his face is so contorted. He must have suffered horribly. Oh, Lamont.
I heard the scream and came running. What is it?
Look for yourself, Cranston. Captain Flanagan is dead. The same way that Rutherford got it. And not a mark on him.
I think you're wrong, Carew. There's a slight scratch on his forehead.
Let me see. So there is. How could a little scratch like that have caused his death? And where is the murder weapon?
Mr. Carew, you've had plantations in the West Indies for many years. Haven't you ever heard of a native poison brewed from the roots of strange herbs called Mauna Gua? It's known to cause instant death.
Why, no. No, I don't know the poison. Why do you ask?
Why? Because in some mysterious way, Captain Flanagan was murdered with that drug.
Talk, Lamont. Seeing that you believe Mr. Carew had committed the murder.
Perhaps he has, Margot.
But you were there when it happened. You must have seen how it was done.
Margot, I was right in the cabin when it happened, but I might have been in New York for all the good it did me. The shadow went to Captain Flanagan's cabin last night. The door was locked and bolted, so I knocked. When he opened the door to see who it was, the shadow slipped into the cabin. Then he locked and bolted the door again, but before I could...
I could have sworn I heard someone knock at the door. Must be my imagination. Well, to bed. Strange. What's that odor? Sounds like it's coming from that ventilator. And the wailing. Just as Carew said he...
Then he screamed and fell to the floor of the cabin. I heard you and Carew coming toward the cabin, and when Carew forced the door, the shadow slipped out.
And you didn't see how it happened?
No, Margot. I saw it happen, but the whole thing had me completely baffled.
Come in.
Begging your pardon, miss, but Mr. Carew wants both you and Mr. Cranston, sir, to come up on the bridge.
Did he say what for, us?
There seems to be some trouble, sir. The men refuse to go on. It looks pretty serious. I think you'd better talk to them, Mr. Carew. They look like they're in a pretty dangerous mood.
Yes, they know how Flanagan died, and they want to turn back.
Well, we can't sail the ship without them. I guess you'd better use them.
But this is mutiny. It's unheard of in this day and age.
Oh, please do something, Mr. Carew.
All right, I'll do something. Something that may convince them.
Let's have the men out here!
Hey, listen to me! We're going to continue our course to the West Indies.
Not in this present ship, we're not.
We want to turn back.
What happened to Captain Flanagan? It happened to...
Captain Flanagan.
And Captain Rutherford, don't forget. This ship is hard.
It was all an accident. There was nothing supernatural about it.
This ship is cursed and we're not sailing.
We want to turn back.
And we're going to turn back.
Hands, please. Suppose I prove to you that there is nothing to fear on this ship.
How are you going to do it?
We
want to know.
If I sleep in the captain's cabin and nothing happens to me, will you continue the voyage?
That's fair enough.
Fair enough it is.
You do it, and if nothing happens to you, we'll go on.
A man working for me to do anything that I wouldn't do. I'm sleeping in the captain's cabin tonight.
Now, have you got all that, Margo?
Let's see if I remembered everything. I'm to watch the porthole in the captain's cabin.
And don't forget to stay out of sight.
Right. When I get your signal.
Not my direct signal. The porthole slamming shut will be the signal.
That's right. Then I'm to shoot the gun.
And remember, just into the air to arouse the men of the crew. You're not to take a shot at the murderer. I'd like to take him alive.
Oh, is he, Lamont?
Well, I'm still not sure, Margot. But I do know how the murders were committed. I spent the whole afternoon inspecting the captain's cabin again, and at last it came to me. You see, the victims were awakened by...
Come in.
Carew.
I was looking for you, Lamont. I wonder if you'd do me a favor.
Well, if I can.
You want to speak with Lamont alone, Mr. Crewe?
No. No, thank you. It may sound silly to you, Lamont, but would you take care of this letter for me?
A letter? What do you mean?
To my wife. Just in case, you know.
Oh, nothing's going to happen, Mr. Carew.
Why, of course not.
Of course not. I feel as though I'm taking that last long walk tonight. There's something I've got to do. Nice evening, isn't it? Seems pretty fine to be alive. Well, I won't bore you with my emotions. Better have a go at that cabin. You will take care of that letter for me, won't you, Lamont?
Certainly.
So long.
Spoke as if he were going to die tonight.
And well he may, Margot, if anything goes wrong with the trap I've set for the killer. Well, let's get along. The Shadow has work to do.
Now to lock and bolt the door.
There.
Now there's nothing to do but wait. I could go to bed and wait. Huh? There. Who's there? Strange. I thought I heard someone knock. Must be my nerve.
Mr. Carew.
Boy. Maybe they're right. Maybe the ship is haunted.
No, Mr. Carew. It is the Shadow's voice you heard.
But I can't see you.
The Shadow is invisible to your eyes. But let me reassure you, I am a man of flesh and blood, and I am your friend. I've cast a hypnotic mist over your mind, which makes me invisible.
I don't understand. What do you want of me?
I've come to help you, to save you from almost certain death.
How can you save me?
Be patient, Mr. Carew. Obey my orders and we will outwit the killer.
But I... That odor. The odor of death.
The killer has come earlier than I expected.
And now the moaning. Shadow, that awful smell. It seems to be coming from the ventilator.
Mr. Carew.
What is it?
Don't move another step. You see the ventilator in front of the porthole?
Yes.
The murderer is just outside waiting for you to go to that ventilator. As you pass the open porthole, he will strike.
Then I won't pass it. I'll be safe if I don't.
You must pass it.
What?
If we are to catch our killer red-handed, please follow my instructions. Now, count three to yourself and walk toward the ventilator. When I shout now, drop to the floor instantly. Ready?
Ready. One, two, three.
Now! Are you all right, Mr. Carew?
Yes, yes, I'm all right. What's all that shouting about?
Unless I'm mistaken, that means our killer's criminal days are over. If you'll examine the porthole, you'll find a sharp steel needle dangling from a silk thread. But be extremely careful of the way you handle it, as it's coated with a very deadly poison. That, Mr. Carew, is the murder weapon.
Lamont, Mr. Crewe is about the happiest man in the world this morning.
Well, he should be. He came very close to following Captain Rutherford and Captain Flanagan as the killer's third victim.
Mm. And Ross is in chains in the hole, Lamont?
Yes. Carew's turning him over to the authorities as soon as we dock at the Tito.
But did Ross finally admit why he had committed these murders?
Well, Margot, it seems Ross had been hired by another concern to ruin Carew. Not only on this ship, but on any other ship that Carew might try to hire.
You know, Lamont, I still don't know how Rock could do all those things.
What things, Margot?
Well, for instance, the wailing sound that we heard.
Oh, that's simple enough. He rigged up some large tin drums on a rosin cord hung to the yardarm. When the wind whirled them about, it produced our moaning sounds.
But what about the odor? That odor of death.
That was nothing more than a few basic chemicals placed in the ventilators. Our imagination supplied the so-called odor of death.
Simple enough. But how did Rock actually commit the murder?
I knew, Margot, that the killer had used a blowgun and a poison dart. But what puzzled me was, what became of the dart? You remember, we couldn't find it.
Oh, now, Lamont, that's not so simple.
On the contrary, Margot. Rock merely slid down a rope to the porthole, shot his poison dart, and retrieved it by pulling it back on a thick thread.
Oh, as simple as all that? Boy, I could have figured that out if I'd had time enough.
Well, of course you did, dear. Time and give you time enough and you could have figured it out, certainly. There's only one thing you overlooked, Margot.
What's that, Lamont?
A peculiar characteristic of our friend Carew.
Really? What characteristic?
He just doesn't like being buried at sea.
Well, you can understand. Oh, Lamont.
In just a moment, we'll bring you a special feature of America at War. But first, we present John Barclay, Blue Coal's home heating expert. Mr. Barclay.
Thank you, Ken Roberts, and good afternoon, friends. Perhaps I can emphasize the easy way to run a furnace if I point out today the things you should not do. Here's a list of the most important don'ts. Don't burn trash in the furnace. That's a sure way to get a dirty furnace, clinkers, and poor heat. Don't operate the furnace with the firebox only partly filled. A thin fire wastes fuel because the fire burns up too quickly. A deep fire bed actually conserves fuel, so keep your fire at all times at least level with the bottom of the coaling door. Don't shake grates roughly. You'll find that gentle shaking actually conserves fuel. So stop shaking when you see the first faint red glow in the ash pit. Follow these simple good firing rules and you'll get more satisfaction. And what's more important, more heat from the coal you burn. I thank you.
The Shadow Program is based on a story copyrighted by Street & Smith Publications. The characters, names, places, and plot are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. Now is the time to put your money to work for your country. Buy defense bonds and stamps regularly every payday. Urge your friends to buy. Talk it up among your fellow employees. Many firms already are represented 100%. For example, every single employee of the DL&W Coal Company, producers of blue coal, has subscribed to buy defense bonds regularly. Let's show the axis that for nations as well as for men...
The weed of crime bears bitter fruit. Crime does not pay. The Shadow knows.
Next week, same time, same station, your friendly blue coal dealer brings you another strange and thrilling adventure in the Shadow's daring battle against the forces of evil. Be sure to listen. And be sure to phone your neighborhood blue coal dealer for greater heating comfort at less cost. Remember, keep the home fires burning with blue coal. This story was produced by the DL&W Coal Company, distributors of blue coal. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.